Welcome to the Cognito podcast from More Barlow. More Barlow is a law firm focused on helping entrepreneurs and leaders of businesses and organisations and private individuals and families through the opportunities, the challenges and the sometimes life-altering circumstances that may come your way. In Cognito, the podcast, we'll be holding conversations with experts from a range of fields, but all with a focus on what success means, and once you achieve it, what are the smartest moves you can make to stay ahead of the game. We're going to be digging into subjects like energy-boosting nutrition, growing a business sustainably, and exit strategies. In this episode, we dive deep into how to expand a business quickly and sustainably. I'm joined by Paul Bolwell and Steve Mills, joint founders from Green Snow, who know all about this stuff. First of all, tell us all about Green Snow, what it is, what got you to this point.
Yeah, sure. So Green Snow, we're an e-commerce management company and a 3PL, which is a third-party logistics company. So we kind of do two things. So half of what we do is we've got a warehouse, we've got a customer service team, we're connecting into other people's e-commerce websites, fulfilling their orders, doing all the boring stuff that goes behind the scenes if you want to run a website or a web shop. And alongside that, we've got relationships where we own the stock as well. So we run the Team GB store, for example. So we run the official Team GB store for the Olympics from Tokyo up to Paris. We do the same in the cycling space. We've got a few cycling teams we work with. And then we've got some of our own businesses as well. So kind of we've got a whole suite of e-commerce businesses that we're running out of our warehouse and kind of getting that economies of scale of having one big warehouse, one customer service team, and then a really good, hardworking group of staff that can do it across all the brands.
And where did that come from? How did it grow into this huge Green Snow empire?
I guess randomly, to be honest. Paul was a founder of Wiggle, the sort of big cycling e-commerce business. So when we both left there, we decided to set something up, started off a bit of consulting, started running some e-commerce stores that we knew in the cycling space. And then it just kind of went from there. You know, we got a warehouse, we had some spare space, we could help you run a shop. And then it kind of snowballed from there, really. And all from word of mouth, never really advertised, never really gone out to seek any business, just all from contacts and sort of natural organic growth, really.
Now, it's been quite a challenging couple of years, hasn't it? How do you think that's affected business, or how have you got through that?
Yeah, I mean, when the COVID madness hit, we were in the same concerning, worrying space everyone else was, you know, what's going to happen here? And, you know, we were having daily meetings around cash flow and staff management and what's happening with all of our suppliers and partners. And then we were one of the fortunate retailers, like many were, when cycling boomed and everyone was allowed to go out for a little run and do their sports, you know, off the back of that.
I had a bike that was about 15 years old and I sold it in a day.
Yeah, the bike shops love people like you.
Yeah.
Bike shops love people like you. So we had that, and then we deal with a brand called Solgar, which is one of the biggest global brands for multivitamins and supplements and stuff. And so they had a boom time whilst everyone was thinking about their immunity. So for us, that first period was all hands on deck and worried about cash flow and worried about stock management and worried about, you know, where things were going to go. And then shortly, within 6 weeks, we were hitting the busiest periods we've gone through, and sales were off the charts, and managing staff was our biggest issue then, because obviously we couldn't have an outbreak of COVID in this place because everyone worked so closely together. So we were having to manage that pretty carefully, and we came through it unscathed. The next big issue we had for us was supply chain. So all of these businesses took off, and then stock became in very short supply, and you know, we had to do our best to kind of source stock from here, there and everywhere. So yeah, amazing. 2020 was an amazing year against an incredible backdrop. Steve, a friend of ours, once said to us, in any business he looks at, you know, what's the worst three things that can happen? And we often joked about that, but we never thought that actually the Olympics would get cancelled, the Tour de France would get cancelled,
right,
and everyone would be told to work from home, you know. So yeah, we faced all of those.
It was like the longest fire drill ever.
Right. Yeah, 100%. And it's changed all of our, you know, it's changed everything for our staff. You know, we now have staff work from home who haven't come back. I assume they still work for us, but yeah. It's our finance team as well, which is a bit worrying, but yeah. So we had to change the policy and how we work with our staff. And, you know, now I think our business has come out of it a much better place than we were. We're now at the back end of 2021's great sales. And now, like everyone else in the industry, you know, we're up against it. We've had two wicked years, two great years on sales, but, you know, with the cost of living and everything now, those good days are gone and we're back to proper grafting, proper retail, which is what generally retail is. I think, you know, there's a lot of people had it great through that period and some probably didn't, but retail is a tough industry.
Yes.
Be it that we do e-commerce, you know, everyone thinks web sales are easy and, you know, it's tough, really tough. So, you know, we're enjoying that right now. And I think part of the thing is, you know, talking about sustainability later, but a lot of the things we do is to try and make things the best way we can. And often that comes at a cost, you know, and a financial cost. And with rising costs and stuff, you know, some of those decisions we want to make in terms of doing things the right way are actually costing a lot more than they were.
Of course.
And then there's bigger effects on the bottom line to make those decisions on trying to do things for the good.
So do you think that you've grown over the last couple of years, or is it going back even further?
Yeah, we've certainly grown. You know, if you look at it, depends what you're looking at growing, right? If you look at top line sales, that's grown. But actually, have we grown the amount of customers on our databases? Yeah, we have. Have we grown, you know, our relationship with brands? Then yes, we have. And, you know, it's a lot of great growth there.
Where do you think then? So since you've set up Green Snow, when do you think was your biggest growth period?
I think our biggest growth period was probably moving to this building, not actually in terms of top line sales, but in terms of we had to grow up. You know, we went from a couple of buildings that I owned and, you know, Steve and I bought to have offices in, and, you know, we had an old Victorian school building and stuff. And then we got this warehouse and a lot more staff. That was actually for us our biggest growth period, because we then had to be a proper, decent business.
And is that sort of, you're teetering on the edge? Okay, right. So we're going to double our staff numbers. Is that sort of a bit of a...
Yeah, squeaky bum time.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit like when somebody's trying to buy a house, isn't it? And, you know, you want to buy that bigger house and you're kind of thinking, actually, can we afford this mortgage? And da, 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 da. It's the same theory. But actually, inevitably, what happens is you buy that bigger house and then you still go out for beers and drinks and you get by, don't you? And that first 6 months was like that. We moved here and costs were much bigger. But it makes everyone focus on the target, and that's to ensure that the business works. And we have done. It's been great. And then we come into 2022 and thinking, oh my God, what's now going to happen? And we had a brilliant year for sales that grew. And then, you know, we've thankfully, for all the time we've been going as Green Snow, much like in our old Wiggle days, every year sales has increased and increased and increased. So this year's going to be a tough one.
What do you think the biggest challenge has been for Green Snow?
Some of the biggest challenges for Green Snow has been, I guess, managing that growth, because, say, we've always been growing. Every year has been bigger than the previous year. So you're constantly trying to manage the sort of iterations of whether it's that you're growing the team, you're growing the staff, you're getting more mature. As we said, we've moved locations probably 3 times until we've got to this place. So you're constantly having to readjust and reevaluate. And often it can be too easy to kind of look at a good year or a good period of sales, or you've got some new clients on and you think, great, we can now afford to do X, Y, Z. But as Paul mentioned before, like when you move house, the cost of everything goes up. So you've then got more staff, your utilities have gone up, and then you're managing all the rising costs and everything else going around it as well. So it's that constant need to be looking at the bottom line and looking at running a really good, sustainable business as well. Because say we're not a business that's gone and raised equity or got external funding or anything. So we'd always tried to run this as organically as possible and continuing to reinvest profits and continuing to keep things well managed, really. And I think that's the constant challenge, because if you're just going after growth and you don't need to worry about profit or cash flow, that's one thing. And if you're just trying to keep a sustainable business at one level, it's a bit more manageable, but trying to get it on a trajectory and trying to continue to push forward is probably the biggest challenge, because you've always got the same headaches.
Yeah, of course. They just get bigger.
And they get more zeros on the end.
And so do you think this is because of you guys and how you founded it and your sort of ethics and your values? Is it sort of top down? You know, when somebody comes to work here, they've got to get on board with it.
Yeah, I guess there's two bits there, I think, that comes from Paul and I sort of ethics. And one, and someone asked me a couple of days ago, like, how do you manage growing and dealing with all the stress and everything? And I think we've always believed in having really good people that you can delegate to and not to micromanage things. So one thing we've always done is look for, whether it's people we've worked with in the past or, you know, connections of connections on LinkedIn sort of thing, always found people that we know we can trust to come in and do a really, really good job. And you know you're not going to pay someone money and then micromanage what they do and tell them what to do.
Right.
It's getting in really good people that you know you can trust and they're going to do something and they've got outside experience, whether it's operations or marketing or customer service. It's someone that can come in and have their own view on doing things, which really helps. And then, say, from the sustainability angle, it's then making sure you're doing things the right way. So we're not, you know, getting loads of stuff from overseas and loads of carbon miles. We're trying to source things locally where we can, or we're thinking of, we're making garments, what's the base product it's made of and what's the end of life, and looking at those sort of bits as well.
Has there been anything that hasn't gone so well? And can you give us an example?
Yeah, I mean, I've had example after example.
Always think, learning, right?
Yeah, one of them was back, I guess, not relevant to Green Snow, but worth sharing. One of my best examples was when I was back at Wiggle. Weird. Like everyone jumped on the solar eclipse.
Remember, right.
Remember the
yes,
solar
yes.
eclipse things?
And I remember it on EastEnders where they just literally put a piece of paper over the sun.
Yeah, there you go. So the solar eclipse days back at Wiggle where we were selling loads of those solar eclipse glasses that we were buying from the Far East and sold a load and thought, right, yeah, this is great. And bought pallets and pallets more from our friends in China. And they arrived too late. So... Yeah, and when we sold the business in 2012, they were still on the balance sheet somewhere as these bloody solar eclipse glasses.
Well, it's all right, keep them for 200 years, they'll be fine if you come back around again.
I think one of the things that we're really good at, and you know, is in Steve's and my DNA, is that, you know, we're still agile, right? We're still a small business, so we try things, we're investing things, we're, you know, whether it's a new brand or a new website or stock or something, and we'll give it a try off the radar and kind of just position it and see how it works. And if it does work, then we go into it.
Yeah.
So we haven't got something that we've, you know, really heavily invested in and backed. Mm-hmm. I mean, as a business, you know, we're working with partners who already have a brand established.
Yeah.
So we're not necessarily trying to create our own brand from scratch.
Let's move on to sustainability. This is a key focus for Green Snow. Talk to us about sustainability.
Yeah. So our business is a retailer, essentially. And what we're doing there is we're putting a product that somebody's ordered that we've sourced from a place into a package and send it to a consumer. And that consumer could be anywhere around the world. So there's a lot there that we have to manage in terms of how do we make that process better. There's things in the building that we can do to ensure that we're doing everything we can to ensure that we're thinking about the environment. But fundamentally, we have to do as good a job as we can to cut down, you know, the emissions that are associated with those products. Now, in the case of Team GB, for example, when we're sourcing Adidas product to sell, you know, we have no control essentially of how Adidas are sourcing that product and where it's coming from and how that gets sent to us, whether it's in plastic bags and so on and so forth. In those cases, you know, we can push down the supply chain as far as we can to ensure that there's no single-use plastic packaging coming our way. And then when it comes into this warehouse, how are we, you know, then packaging it to send out to the customer, and so it's going in a sustainable packaging, and you know, and then also within what we're doing around the last piece of delivery and the cost of that and the consumer and the carbon emissions and so on and so forth. But all the things that are in our control, you know, we're always certainly benchmarking, is this the best way we can do it? So, you know, all the t-shirts we have made, is it made with organic cotton? Do we know where the factories are? Is it using, you know, water-based inks? Can we cut out all the rubbish, needless, single-use plastics? Then yes. So it's a huge part of our focus, and it rubs across all the staff. You know, we have a really good young team, and as Steve alluded to with our staff, you know, we're all about encouraging youngsters to come here and giving them the chance to shine. And, you know, with that young energy that comes from the staff comes a mindset that I don't think it should be a process. It's just something that should be absolutely fundamentally part of a brand's DNA, and just it's got to happen, right? And
exactly. Well, we're talking
sat here on the hottest day of the year, and it's 41 degrees, and you know, we're sat with the air conditioning on. So you can question, is that the right thing? Isn't it the right thing? And what have you? But we've all got to make a change. And I think for Steve and I in particular, you know, like many people in this business, we all love cycling and sports, and we can do our little bit, but that's never going to be enough, is it? As Steve and I probably remember when we were in the Atlas Mountains in Morocco riding around there, and I'll never forget these scenes, these little villages up on the hill where they're miles away from any rubbish bins and what have you. So they just chuck all their plastic waste and all their rubbish just down the side of the hill, and it's rolling into rivers. Now, you know, you can't change that mindset. So everything that we're doing has to be the right thing for us, but such a bigger piece, right?
And but it's the whole world that's got to...
Yeah, exactly.
You know, our planet is burning.
Yeah.
Basically. And we can feel it today because it's 41 degrees. So everybody has got to be more sustainable.
Yeah, and I think it's a huge issue, right? And Steve and I were in France last week riding in this same heat. It was 41 degrees there. And we, you know, both of us chose some years ago to, you know, we don't really eat meat and try and do the right things. And one, because it's a lifestyle choice, but two, because we kind of agree with it and we love outside and love, you know. You're driving through France and stopping at service stations and stopping in local village bakeries, all you're going to get is meat-based food. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, well, we all know the effect of dairy and meat has on the CO2 and what have you. So there's so much that's got to change. So, yeah, we're trying to do our bit of green snow and we try and, you know, our staff to do the right thing. And we do lots of stuff here to encourage the right mindset. But it's going to take a bit more than some work in Southampton to fix hot days like today, right?
Steve. What advice would you give to any new businesses that are trying to sort of emulate this kind of success and grow to that kind of height of green snow?
I think the biggest thing is getting the balance of doing it organically. And a big bit is risk. I think risk can be such a big killer for a business. And it's getting that balance right, because say it's too easy to get gung-ho and overstretch and run to the sound of the guns, if you like, and not consider sort of the big impacts. And I say, when you're looking at sustainability from a point of view, it needs to be something you're doing because you want to do it, not because it's a marketing message or not because it's something that's public facing. And
what do they call it? Greenwashing.
Yeah, greenwashing, exactly. And you get to the point where we're not really a public facing business. So we're not advertising, we're not pushing out to consumers because we're almost invisible. So we want to make sure our clients, the Team DB, the Solgars, these guys want to keep working with us. So we got to do things the right way because we believe in it, not because it's going to tick a box somewhere down the line sort of thing. I think in some businesses you see that they might be chasing growth and they may also think, you know, we got to jump on this sustainability thing. We got to put it as a real forward thinking message. But if you're doing it for that reason, and everyone's just going to catch up because it's going to become normal and it's going to become the default. So the only way it's therefore going to work is if you're doing it because you want to do it. It's bedded in with the roots of what you're doing. So then as you're growing, it's going to happen in a sustainable way from a, you know, from a cash point of view, from an investment point of view, from a growth point of view. And it's just getting that balance right, I think.
And I think that's what comes through talking to you guys is you're very authentic. You believe in all of this stuff. And so that's just part of green snow. That's the values. And there's no changing it, you know. That's what we stand for.
And there's some really good stuff that comes out of that ethos, because obviously, you know, we get asked it now when we're interviewing people. So you're taking graduates or, say, people that come out of college, and you say at the end of the interview, you've got any questions? And they say, yeah, what do you do here from a sustainability point of view? Or I saw on your website that you're quite eco-sensitive. So what does that mean? And then we're getting asked this question of people coming in. And we have it, like, we stand up and we do, like, quarterly presentations to staff and we talk about things. And then the questions we're getting back can be challenges to us. So, oh, by the way, I've noticed that there's such and such sellotapes being used somewhere. I was like, there was an issue for that. This is what's happening. This is our plan to address it. And we're getting challenged ourselves internally because that's the team that we've built and it's exactly the way it should be.
And finally, your hopes for the business, your hopes for the industry over the next year, 5 years?
We're in a scale game, if you like. So to be doing e-commerce and fulfillment and warehouse, our business works because we can do things a lot cheaper than someone doing it on their own. So if you're an e-commerce business, you've got, I don't know, 20 orders a day, 50 orders a day, 100 orders a day, it takes a lot to service that because you need a warehouse, you need to store it, you then need people to pick, pack and dispatch, you need a system, barcode, security, the courier relationships, all this sort of stuff. And then the customer service and things go around it. So for us, that is easy. So someone could come to us with hundreds of orders a day, and we can almost absorb that into our ecosystem. So there's an element of making sure we're onboarding some good, exciting new brands that we believe in. We're in a good situation that we only really work with brands that we like and we appreciate sort of thing. And everyone
shared
values, both from what the product is and with the sort of ethos of the company. And there's other places for people to go if they just want a big box fulfillment, soulless, be one of a number sort of thing. So we definitely want to work hard to onboard a few more clients and keep that sort of organic growth. And we're probably in a world where we want 3-4 clients a year. So we know the business owners. We're having those chats with people.
Right.
We kind of say,
this is like an ongoing thing.
It never stops.
You don't go, okay, right, we need some sales this month.
Yeah,
you
know? Exactly. It is that long-term thing. And so what we're not saying is we need, you know, we want to double next year. We want 50 new clients sort of thing, because it would break our model and the way we work. The second bit in terms of sort of challenge for the industry, I mean, everything retail goes up and down. At the moment, it's a tough retail climate because fuels, you know, £2 a litre, the heating, what it's going to be in the winter, it's going to be horrendous for a lot of people, and people are going to have to start making quite tough decisions on what they're buying. And the things you're not going to buy are things you don't need. And it's right that from consumerism, people probably buy too much stuff they don't need anyway. So from an e-commerce and a retail point of view, we need to make sure we're selling the right products and stuff with a proper purpose. And that's where I think the sort of the wider challenge is going to come in e-commerce, because there's going to be businesses out there that are making a quick buck by selling the fast fashion-y type thing. It doesn't have to be fashion. Uh-huh. It could be, you know, homeware or something. Got to make sure you're doing the right products. And I think that's what's going to separate the ones that can survive longer and the ones that probably are going to struggle.
I think to follow on from Steve's point as well, one of the things that we have to do as a business as well is do the right things for staff. So, you know, like he was talking about, we're not a soulless warehouse fulfillment company. You know, we're somewhere that all of our staff are on living wage, you know, in the warehouse, and we put staff at the forefront of what we're doing. But another challenge we've got right now, you know, in that sense, like other retailers, is e-commerce with this Brexit situation.
Right.
You know? So actually, whilst we've seen great growth, we're also seeing a big decrease in our orders from overseas.
Okay.
So for us, you know, that one of the challenges we've got, and, you know, for the next, I mean, think about the next 4 or 5 years, is to try and recoup and get back to selling more stuff into Europe and the rest of the world that we've lost, because of it's now so very painful to ship outside of the UK.
Do you think that will come back?
It won't come back as well as it did from shipping here in the UK. So Steve and the team have been busy working behind the scenes to set up a, you know, a centre in Stuttgart that allows our clients to be able to have stock managed by Green Snow, but that's sat in Europe and fulfilled across Europe as well. Because, you know, we're chatting to a number of new clients who want to come to us who have lost their European sales opportunity. And their US sales because of the Brexit situation. So, you know, we want to get it back. Probably won't ever be as easy. Well, it will never be as easy as it was. You know, it was very easy to manage those European orders from here. But for us, that's something that is in our mindset every day, because whilst we are growing and have grown, actually, if you look at it, we're also doing it against a backdrop of a big decrease on worldwide and European sales, which isn't ideal.
But not when you're trying to grow and expand as a business, especially.
Yeah, when you dive into the actual numbers and see where the growth is coming from, it's, you know, UK heartland, which is great. You know, many of our friends that we're involved and we're close with that work in the e-commerce space or have businesses, you know, they've all seen this big drop off of sales, and we need to get that back. So it's a big focus for us.
Thank you so much for coming on the Cognito podcast today, Paul and Steve from Green Snow. Before we go, why is it called Green Snow? Where did that title come from?
A random one. When we sold Wiggle, all I wanted to do was buy a John Deere tractor, drive around my garden and spend the winter in the mountains on a snowboard.
Right.
So green came from the John Deere and snow from that. So
did
nothing.
You get your tractor?
Got my tractor. Yeah. Went to snow a bit. And yeah, that's it.
For more interesting insight from Cognito, head over to cognito.morebarlow.com, where we've crafted and curated a range of articles, podcasts, and videos on subjects that we think you'll enjoy, find interesting, and hopefully inspiring too. Thank you so much for listening.